And with us, I'm going to read Matthew 16 and begin at verse 1. Get a little thought here to try to bring you a little message the Lord's dealt with the heart about. And I hope I can be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you again, Lord, for loving us and for saving us, and for the day, Lord, you give to us and all the blessings that's been ours through the years to enjoy. Thank you for this privilege to be here in the service tonight to try to proclaim the word of God. We confess our inability. We need a special touch from you tonight, Lord. Have mercy upon us and touch us in a special way. Open our hearts and minds and understanding to the truth. Make us a blessing, Lord, and edify and build up the saints of God and save sinners for thy glory. We humbly and sincerely pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I read these verses to get this little thought here. Now, these, of course, were Pharisees, Sadducees. Christ called them hypocrites. And I don't think any of us are that tonight. I'm not saying that. But he said, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And I'm trying to preach a few minutes on, can we discern the signs of the times? And let me say this, I don't think the church has any signs as far as the signs of the Lord appearing in the air for the church. We believe in the imminent appearing of the Lord Jesus at any time. Yet at the same time, if we're saved and we study the scriptures and hear preaching, we know that these are the last days of the church age. And we know that the Lord Jesus has promised to come again, and that is the blessed hope of the church. Nowhere in the Bible that God told us to, as a church, to look for the Antichrist. He told us to look for the Christ. And he told us to rejoice because Jesus is coming again. And I'm glad. Romans 5 and verse 2 said, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And Hebrews 10:37 says, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And Titus 2:13 said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 13 and verse 7 said, that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That is, our complete salvation is nearer now than when we believed. And I'm glad our complete salvation is near. We know from Hebrews, is it 9:28? So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and of them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So I'm glad the Lord is coming again. It's not going to always be like it is now. There is coming a great change. And by the way, I believe the greatest miracle in your life, if you're saved, is when the Lord saved you. That's the greatest miracle. Somebody said to me not long ago, said, well, I don't see how the Lord can save a fellow like me. I said, I don't even understand how he could put up with us since he did save us. But he saved us and then he puts up with us. Ain't that a blessing? And Paul told Thessalonica Church in 5 and verse 1, but the time and the season, brethren, have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves no purpose, but the day of the Lord shall come to the season of night. So Jesus is coming pretty soon, and I hope you can look around and see that the time is near when he will come. We know it because people are degrading the Word of God now, more than ever before. I mean, you'd be surprised that the religious denominations, and bigger denominations in our day, they deny the doctrine of inspiration when the Bible says all Scripture is given the inspiration of God. But you'd be surprised that people don't even believe in an inspired Word of God. And they deny the doctrine of preservation. We believe as Bible believers that God not only inspired the Word, but we believe He's preserved it to this present moment of time. And we believe the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even the body, the Son, the soul, the spirit, and the joints and marrow, and it's preserved the thought and envy of the heart. So I say that preaching the Word of God will get you in or get you out pretty quick. You'll either love it or you won't love it. One. And you know, you won't just sit there and stay the same if the Word of God's preached to you in the Spirit of God. And by the way, that's the only way it has any effect. Paul said, my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not of you in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Do you remember when the Word of God came to you in power and much assurance? Amen. Sent to your heart by the Holy Ghost. And you was begotten by the Word of God and convicted. The Word of God proved you guilty. And you found yourself down to an old-fashioned cross, that is. You come to the cross. By faith in Jesus Christ, and God for Christ's sake forgave your sin, regenerated your spirit, and made you a new creature. I say, praise God. I'm glad I'm saved. So folks are degrading the Word of God, denying not only inspiration and not only preservation, but incarnation. Oh, you'd be surprised at people now that deny the virgin birth of the Son of God. I'm glad Jesus Christ was virgin born. If he wasn't virgin born, he's a sinner. If he's a sinner, he wouldn't be a fit Savior. But I'm glad, praise God, he wasn't only born for us, but he lived for us. He not only lived for us, but he died for us. He not only died for us, but he resurrected for us. He not only resurrected for us, he went back to heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. And when he comes back, he's coming back for us. And we ought to take a minute to out and hold both hands up if you can and say, praise God, I'm saved and going where the Lord Jesus is pretty soon. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he's coming again. Wouldn't you hate to stay in a world as messed up as this world is? Oh, yes. My wife often says, well, I never did see a time like this. I said, there never has been a time like this before. They had none of us ever seen a time like this. Who ever thought America would be able to toboggan slide to hell at a breakneck speed like it is now? But it's not going to always be that way. I got some bad news, it's going to get worse. But I got some good news, it's going to get better pretty quick. I say, praise God. I'm glad the Lord's coming. And then they deny the doctrine of preservation, the doctrine of salvation. You'd be surprised at the people that deny the doctrine of Bible salvation. That is, deliverance. Jesus delivers us. He delivers us from the pleasure of sin, from the practice of sin, and from the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. That's what the word salvation means, deliverance. After having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he destroyed them that believed not. Now, they wasn't saved like we're saved as far as regeneration, but he saved them from Egypt. And then they didn't believe, and so some of them didn't get to go into the land of Canaan, almost all of them, because of unbelief. But I'm glad if you're a believer, you know you can't have unbelief. That is, as far as unbelief, salvation, saving the soul. If you're a believer, you're always a believer. Amen. Do you like that? I like that. I believe salvation delivers. Now, that don't mean to say you won't ever sin. It don't mean to say you won't ever be tempted. It don't mean to say you won't fall from your steadfast and be led astray. But it means to say you can't go to the world because you've been delivered from the world. The Bible said the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world system does not know us. They wonder what's the matter with you. Did you know this much of lying liberals think we're the problem? We haven't stole no money, or we haven't run off of nobody's wife. Oh, no, and we haven't messed the government up. But they think we've messed this government up by believing the truth. Help us, Lord, so much for that. And that's why they desecrate the Bible, you know, desecrate the Lord's day. Degrade the Bible, the doctrine of separation. You'd be surprised at people now, and they say they're saved, and I hope they are, but they don't believe in any separation. And I want to go on record as saying we not only believe as Bible believers in moral separation, we believe in ecclesiastical separation. We're a peculiar people. We can't go along to get along. We can't preach to preach again. You'd be surprised the preachers that preach in order to get to preach again. If we knew how hell is, and we'd be what the Bible says about hell. And we believe how good heaven is and what the Bible says about it. And we believe how soon Jesus comes that we say we believe. We want the preacher to preach on sin and the Savior and salvation, separation, and eternal glory every time he preaches. I tell you, I'm glad somebody said, well, why do you preach on hell? I said, well, why did God tell us about hell? That's an act of mercy. God could have made hell not told us about it. Are you glad God not only made hell for the devil, his angels, but he told us there's a hell. Therefore, we can have the fear of God and not have to go to hell, but we can get saved and miss hell and go to heaven. I say, praise God. Just preach on hell. Preach as hot as you can. It is hot. You better believe it is. Then not only that, but the signs of the time, discerning the signs. Can we discern that people today, a lot of people is despising those that are good? That is, there's none good in the flesh, you understand that? But the Bible said about the last days, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, perilous times shall come. Then nothing can prevent that. Men be lovers of own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, and denying the power of God, lovers of pleasures, traitors, hate, high-minded. That's what it says in the last days. And I'm glad that that we're able to discern. But he said they despise those that are good. In other words, if you believe the Bible, you believe what the Bible says about Christ, and about God, and about the church, and about salvation, and about separation, and about eternity, and you believe what the Bible says, and try to live for God as a Christian ought to live, then they think you're goody-two-shoes. You don't believe in liquor. You don't believe in lottery. You don't believe in laying up together unmarried. You don't believe in sodomy. You don't believe in same-sex marriage. So you're judgmental. No, I'm a Bible believer. Since God's against it, I'm against it. I'm supposed to be against everything God's against. I try to do it in love and mercy the best I can. That was Lord. Somebody wanted me to go with them down there to Atlanta to that gay pride day. He said, oh, there's going to be 200,000 or 300,000 gays down there. And we'd go down there and preach to them. He said, will you go with us? I said, no. I won't go. I'm as close to a bunch of sodomites as I want to get. And I said, by the way, in my Bible, God didn't send any preachers to Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent some angels to destroy the place. Now, you can think what you want to about me on that. I think them bunch of sodomites is out after your children and your grandchildren. They're polluting the society. They're wrecking the young people. And they're heading for hell at a breakneck speed. And if they don't turn around and drop that wicked lifestyle, they'll wind up in the lake of fire when it's all said and done. I mean, you walk up to a common man on the street and ask him if he's interested in a pardon from the governor. He's not interested. He's not even been to court yet. When he goes to court and they're found guilty of a capital crime and they're sentenced to death pending, then you don't have to sign just as I am to get him to take a pardon if the governor will sign it. I don't know about you, but that's what it was to me. When I got proven guilty, when I saw I broke the commandments of God and the wrath of God was upon me, it looked like I was going to go to hell despite all everybody could do. And I did not know what to do. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what the Bible says. But that fourth Saturday night in June 1957, when the gospel come to me in power, and I found out that Christ loved me and gave himself for me and had a pardon for me, brother, I went down front. I didn't get saved down front. I got saved when I stepped out back there. And I exercised that work of faith in my heart that God had given me by hearing the Word of God. I just went down and up, and God gave me a pardon because I was guilty and pled guilty. And God, for Christ's sake, pardoned me. That means the law is fulfilled, and there's nothing I can do to fulfill the law. Christ fulfilled it for me. And the Bible said in Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Not for everyone. For everyone that believeth. So when you become a believer, redeemed from the curse of the law. If you're not a true believer in Christ and delivered from the curse of the law, you're still under its curse. If you're under the curse, see, one sin puts you under the curse of the law. If you sin one time, the law requires perfection. You can't produce it, and I can't produce it. But Christ kept the law to the jot and tittle and fulfilled the law. That means he filled it full. He did what it required to be done. Then he went to the cross, Galatians 3:13, and was made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law. Now, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Romans 6:14. Not a license to sin. No, no. But we're saved from the practice of sin. Now, I've got to put it right here. The reason hell's eternal is because a sinner is still under the law legally. 1 Timothy 1. And when he dies under the law requires a perfect payment. And he can't pay a perfect payment, so he goes to hell and pays on it forever. That's why it's eternal. Sin's got to be dealt with. God is so holy, he must deal with sin. If he's going to spare anybody, he'll spare Jesus Christ. But he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall it with him freely give us all things? God delivered his son not only up to the cross and the curse, but he delivered him up to hell. He delivered him up to wrath. God made his offering work of redemption now. God is sovereign judge. Christ is the Savior, sin offering. Holy Spirit now is the divine administrator. Christ made the soul of his son to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5, Isaiah 53 and verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. He made his soul an offering for sin. He suffered in his body, but worse than that, he suffered in his soul. In the 3 hours of outer darkness, when everything was dark, God was cut off in redemptive work from his son. His son cried like a sinner from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And his soul was made an offering for sin. And he suffered our wrath and our hell on the cross. That we can be delivered from wrath and from hell. That's the only way you can be delivered. You can't be delivered any other way. There is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Somebody said, well, if you preach Christ the only way, you are judging. I'm not judging. I'm preaching what God said. He said, you mean everybody don't believe in Christ is lost? I mean everybody don't believe in Christ is lost. God means that. Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. There's not two or three or half a dozen different ways. These fellas that's preaching water and wafers and works, they're not good fellas. God called them evil men and seducers. When are we going to learn that that bunch of apostate preachers is evil men? Dumb dogs that can't bark. Don't look at me like that. That's just what it says. Yes, sir. They might be good law fellas, might be good neighbors, might try to do some good religious works. But to lead people away from Jesus Christ and tell them they've got to be baptized in water, or they've got to join their church, or they've got to live right to get to heaven, nothing can be further from the truth. You don't go to heaven by living right. You try to live right because heaven's on the inside of you. Denying the power thereof. And he said, from such turn away. Into all this deepening of wickedness, we can discern the times. Knowing the time, it's not our time. Think about all this. Some of us older ones, and some of y'all not near as young as you look. Who ever thought that parents would become so ungodly they'd have to be arrested for raping their own children? Who ever thought that all this incest and sodomy and molesting these little kids and all this adultery and fornication, child abuse, who ever thought we'd see that in America? You know, common sinners used to not, took guns to fellas that done that. Just common sense bootleggers and gamblers, the people I knew when I was a boy, they had that much godly principles about them. But now, television and all this internet stuff's come out and all this pornography, and the more wicked and vile it gets, the better a lot of people likes it. And these wicked films make more money on the weekend. You know, millions and millions of dollars, and American people filling theaters and all kinds of stuff in order to see that filth. Who ever thought we'd go that far down the road? How much further can we go? I thought a few years ago we'd gone as far down as we could get, and we just keep going lower and lower and lower. People deserting their own children and everything else. Now, it kind of baffles me that we know from that Jesus is coming soon. It can't go on like this. It can't go on like this. And then there's the decline of spirituality. Like a Laodicean age. Christ said, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. So because thou art neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Did you ever see a time when everybody you know from 5 years old upward is saved? They think if they're not all the way passed out. I mean, the Grand Ole Opry stuff. Well, by the way, when I was a boy, and that's been less than 100 years, the Grand Ole Opry was more spiritual then than some churches are now. See, I used to keep up with that kind of music. Had a particular love it. They wouldn't allow drums on the Grand Ole Opry stage until the early 60s. They would not allow Jimmy Dickens and some of the fellas to sing the off-color songs, just a few words. I mean, if it give any intonation that there was a bedroom scene, they wouldn't allow them to sing because it was a family show. You could take your wife and children. It was a family show. Can any of y'all remember that besides me? I remember when they first let drums go in there. Some of the best groups down there had some off, just a little bit of off color. I remember one song, I'm Going to Sleep with One Eye Open From Now On. They wouldn't let them sing it on the Grand Ole Opry stage. Nowadays, you can sing worse songs than that in church.
Yeah.
I've been to churches where they got this second-handed rock and roll. You know, you thought this was a rock concert. Somebody said, well, I don't think you ought to be against that. Well, I said, go ahead and be for it. I'm against it. Hey, I believe in them all hands, like we heard tonight. When you get away from there, you go in the wrong direction. You tell everybody you say you heard a hillbilly preacher say that. Listen, you can't have an old-time revival without old-time singing. You got to have them spirit songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Ain't that what he said? Oh, God, help us. Lukewarm. Too hot to be cold, too cold to be hot. Too far in to be out, too far out to be in. Some people ain't coming back on Sunday night, Wednesday night, if the Apostle Paul resurrects to preach. They got their religion worked in, and you're lucky to get them at 10. Most of them will come in at 11, and if you hold them until 10 after 12, you're too long-winded. They can sit in the ball game. They like overtime at ball games. They pay a big money to get in, and they want to stay there as long as they can, but even padded pews gets hard to them now. Somebody told Oliver Green, said, that loud screaming makes me nervous. He said, it's what I'm screaming about that makes you nervous. And I believe that's right. Help us, Lord. Don't you think with decline in spirituality, some of you younguns wouldn't even believe how it used to be 60 years ago. You wouldn't believe how conviction get hold of sinners, they'd get on the altar. I'm not saying it takes an hour, two, or three to get saved. Sometimes it takes us that long to get ready to get saved. Because our will has to be broken. And they'd stay there. I've been got up two or three times through the night, 3 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I was at Ohio a while back, a year or two ago. And these two ladies, I remember girls got saved there in a camp meeting, a youth camp. I was preaching in Springfield, Ohio. I didn't know how long ago it had been. And they walked up to me. I saw they was there, and I thought that was them. And they come up to me and shook hands. They said, do you remember 30 years ago tonight? I said, I don't know where I do or not. No. I said, that's a pretty long time ago. When you get us old time, you can't remember that well. And they said, 30 years ago tonight, 3 o'clock in the morning, we got saved. 30 years ago. Well, I'm a bit off a lot of times. It didn't take God that long. He's sitting on ready. But he can't save you in your sins. See, God's going to save everybody he can and still be God. He's going to save everybody that's savable. See, Christ died to save sinners. But if you won't repent and believe, you're not savable. See, God has to get off the throne if he saved you and left you in your sin, left you a rebel. See, he kicked the first rebel out of heaven. He's not going to let another one get in. And if he saved folks and left them drug addicts and alcoholics and whoremongers and fornicators and idolaters and dope takers, then he'd have to get off the throne. There would be nothing to it. Wouldn't be worth preaching. Someone said, well, don't you believe once saved, always saved? I do if you've been once saved. But don't be talking to me about coming down and making some little old shallow profession and talk about being saved and you never do quit your wicked ways. No, I don't believe that. And I'm not preaching works for salvation either. And I'm saying there'll be some fruit of the Spirit of God in you when God gets in you. There'll be love. They won't have to give you lollipops to go to church. Hey, I was going to honky tonks on Saturday night before I got saved. Just I got saved on Saturday night and kept on going to church on Saturday night. I didn't go to dance halls on Saturday night anymore. Back then, that roadside tavern, see, had square dances and stuff, and everything was you know, loud music and everything on Saturday night. But I didn't go there. I went over to a little church where there's 25, 30 people having a good meeting over there. Nobody instructed me to go. No, nobody told me, said, now you need to go to church. They, back then, you know, they didn't hardly tell you nothing. Now, I don't believe in that. I think you ought to instruct people. Tell young Christians what they ought to do. But I just had that desire to go. God gives you a desire to go when he gets on the inside of you. I think that's right. Well, there'll be distress of nations. And we're seeing, how can we see the distress in the world and not see that it's time for the Lord to come? Think of the Iraq situation. Think of the Afghanistan situation. That war's over there, it's about longer than I can remember. Oh, see, if they can't kill somebody else, they kill each other. That's right. You look at the history of them. They can't kill Christians or Jews or somebody. They turn on each other, different tribes, you know. Think of the situation in Egypt. What they're doing is setting worse people up in authority than was already in there. They're setting up a global antichrist government, is what's happening behind the scenes. Look at the situation in Syria. See, the only way you can control some people, you got to have a dictatorship. You can't control some people without it. Did you know, just listen to me just a minute, did you know that's why Christ is going to be king over all the earth? And he's going to make people behave, because that's the only way you can control unconverted people. And there's a lot of people going into that millennial kingdom in a literal body, have to be made mind. Didn't he say he's going to rule and reign? He said, we shall reign with him. He's going to be Lord over all the earth. To show you that he has to make a mind at the end, when Satan's loosed out of his prison and goes upon the great earth, whole multitude's going to follow him. Even after being in the millennial kingdom with Jesus reigning as king. That's just what it says. If you've got a different interpretation, you can let me know after service. See, man's depraved nature is against God. See, if all there was to it was coming down, asking Jesus to come in your heart and getting you a passport to heaven, it wouldn't take much preaching for that. But man's got a wicked heart. He's a rebel against God. And that's why you got people, they profess to be Christians, and they turn around and they don't believe the Bible, don't believe in old-time religion, don't believe in the right kind of church and everything. They're still God's enemies. These people I read about here, this religious folks, is tempting him, is always trying to get at him. They thought, who made you a judge over us? The religious people still think the same things. But not so much for that. Look at the situation in Libya, Israel, surrounded. I heard a fellow from Israel say just the other day, 200,000 missiles is pointed at Israel now. 200,000 from Arab countries. He's the one said it. I don't know if it's so or not, but he's a government official over there. And he said, you going to attack Iran? He said, we don't have any choice. He said, they said if they get the nuclear weapon, they're going to kill us. So if somebody said they're going to kill you, you don't have any choice but try to protect yourself. Did you know what they'd do? They'd destroy Israel tonight if they could, if God let them. Yeah. That's right, they would. And look at the chaos in America. All the street demonstrations. Look what a thing they've made out of that thing down there in Florida over that boy, that rebel getting shot down there. And I don't know nothing. I don't know the facts in the case. They don't know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton don't know the facts either. They don't know much more than I do. You know, Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton, they never preached a gospel message in their life. Their gospel is a social gospel. It's a racial gospel. Show me one time they've ever preached a gospel message, even when they pastored churches. Not one. There's not recorded one gospel message that Martin Luther King ever preached. He preached a social gospel. Equal rights. Instead of doing that in a church, they ought to went to Washington somewhere and done that. They went up there, but they tried to preach the same thing in churches. They do the same thing now in election times. They go in the churches and deceive a bunch of people supposed to be Christians, and they guess they are, with a social gospel. See, Christ is the person of the gospel. If you're not preaching Christ, you're not preaching the gospel. You may be preaching, but you're not preaching the gospel. Because Christ is the gospel. Ain't that right? Listen, you know, the Bible is a book about Jesus Christ. What he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. And if a fella labors from that and starts preaching equal rights and what we deserve, he's not preaching the gospel. It's time for us to see what's going on. Discern the times. It's another gospel. Paul said, them folks to preach another gospel, let them be cursed. I didn't say that. You ought to look up that word sometime, what Paul said in Galatians 1. That means let them be damned. You think I'm a rough preacher? What would you thought about Paul? You mean he was against them fellows mixing up law and grace and perverting the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached against it, and I preach against it.
Amen.
And it's okay if I preach against it. We as Christians believe that Christ is the only Savior. We believe Christ is the only Savior of mankind. He's the only Savior the world has. He's the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. So He's the only Savior the world has. I hope you're saved by Him. Do you know Him? The free pardon? Can you discern the signs that's going on?